Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter in the book of Hajj. Yesterday we did the hadith explaining that one umrah to another umrah is a kafara, is a means of expiation of gunas, small gunas, minor gunas between them. And the person performing Hajj wal Hajj al-Mabroor, laysa lahu jazawun illa al-Jannah. That there is no reward for a Hajj of Mabroor except Jannah. So there is such great reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left for performing these acts. But as we mentioned yesterday, the person that is doing these actions, he should present himself to a senior person, senior and alim, explain to him that these are the choices I have before me, that I can go for this umrah now, or I can utilize the same money for some poor family member, or I can use it for some from charitable works. What is your advice for me? And according to the person's condition, the person's mizaj, accordingly that person will give him advice. And a person who can't make it, he should not feel bad in his heart that I can't make it. This isn't something that a person who can't make it, there's any guna, there is no guna. But if he has that, there are other ways he can get so much of rewards. Inshallah, as we're going on, we'll do a hadith that show a person, even whilst here, that he can get the reward of Hajj and Umrah just by performing these amal. So in deen, there isn't such a thing a person feels sad that I can't do it. Or even that sadness that comes in the heart also is a good thing. That is a sign of iman, that a person is feeling sad that I, for some reason, couldn't perform my Hajj, I couldn't perform this Umrah, I couldn't perform this Nafil act, I couldn't perform the Hajjud. We'll see in today's one hadith today, that Sahaba, how their thinking was. Their thinking was Akhirat, Akhirat. And they thought to themselves, if we couldn't do something, we couldn't get the reward for it, how can we do something else, or how can we also share in the reward? So their mind was only as far as Akhirat is concerned. When they came to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they thinking that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we see a certain action in today's hadith we'll do, that O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how we can also get that action? And their thinking was, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is not how we can enjoy a certain type of a holiday, how we can go to Vietnam, how we can go to Malaysia, how we can go to Singapore, how we can go here or how we can go there, but how we can also get a share of actions. So this is how our thinking must be, how we can also get the share of amal, how we can bring more actions into our life. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, Qultu ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nara al-jihada afdal al-amal. Aisha radiallahu anha, she reports that I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see jihad as the most virtuous actions. So we see that jihad is the most virtuous of actions. So she asked, Afala nujahid, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can we also participate in jihad? Look at the thinking. Not that they're asking to go for an exclusive holiday, but we are seeing that jihad is the most virtuous of actions. Allow us also to be part and parcel of jihad. In other words, allow ladies also to be part of the jihad. فَقَالَ لَكُنَّ أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ حَجٌّ مَبْرُورٌ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, for you, in other words, for the woman, the best form of jihad is the Hajj and Mabroor. In other words, the day is mashakrat and there is hardship also in this Hajj. So for you, the best form of jihad is Hajj and Mabroor. In other words, there isn't such a thing as deen only is exclusive for the men. There isn't some alternative for the ladies. There is also that alternative for the ladies. So beautifully, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, for you, the best form of jihad is Hajj and Mabroor. وَعَنْهَا أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قَالْ مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَيَّعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ. رواه مسلم. حضرت عائشة رضي الله عنها reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no day in which Allah frees more servants from the fire of Jahannam than the day of Arafah. The day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives on a mass scale. And generally, it's most of them, the people that are present, but also other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives to such an extent that even shaitan hangs his head in shame, seeing that so many people Allah forgiving on the day of Arafah, the day when the hajis are standing and they are crying and they are pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the plains of Arafah. There isn't any day in the whole year that Allah Pak frees more people from the fire of Jahannam than that day. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Umratun fi Ramadan ta'adilu hajjatan hajjatan ma'i muttafaqun alayh. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to perform Umrah in Ramadan is equal to Hajj or performing Hajj with me. You have to understand this again. There were some women that had intended to join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon Hajj. We said that Hajj had become farz in the 9th year after Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had performed Hajj in the 10th year. But in the 9th year, he said, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, go and be part of the parcel of that Hajj that used to take place. And in they announced that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be performing Hajj next year. And next year, no mushrik will be able to perform Hajj. Nobody will be able to perform Hajj naked. Those days they had in Jahiliyyah, they wouldn't wear the ihram, they would perform Hajj naked. So here, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and he made these announcements. So people knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to perform Hajj, and from different parts of the Arabian Peninsula, different parts, Muslims and people started coming to be part and parcel of the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there were some women that intended to come and join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the Hajj. Again, look at their thinking. They wanted to join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this Hajj, but for some reason they couldn't make it. So now they came and they complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we couldn't perform this Hajj for you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for asking and presenting the case in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because such a solution, he showed them, right up to the day of Qiyamah, we also don't get left out. We couldn't make that Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he had shown us an alternative. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umratun fi Ramadan ta'adilu hajjatan wa hajjatan ma'i. That a person performing Umrah in Ramadan is equivalent to performing Hajj with me. A person, if he can and he's got the ability of performing Hajj, performing Umrah in Ramadan, it is equivalent to performing Hajj with me. So now there is an alternative for that person that cannot perform, that did not have that opportunity to perform Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even if a person doesn't have that opportunity of going there and performing that Umrah also, it is not the end of the world. There are so many other chances and choices and opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person from here. So these are things that we learn from this hadith. But one important thing that we learn from the hadith that we did today is look at the thinking and look at the spirit of Sahaba, that all the time they were thinking how we can do more and how we can benefit. This area our Ustad Hazrat Mufti Sahab's mother had passed away. But his mother had passed away. Normally, she would wake him up for the Hajjud, or he would wake her up for the Hajjud. Like that, without the clock, they would go to wake up early, very early. Maybe now in summertime around 2 o'clock, they would wake up for the Hajjud Salah. He says that last night he went to wake her up, and she didn't respond. So he thought normally when he would just make salam to her and knock on the door, and she would respond. But she didn't respond. So he thought to himself that perhaps she is a little bit tired. So what I'll do is I'll read 2 rakats of tahajjud, and after 2 rakats I'll come check up on his mother again. So he performed the 2 rakats of tahajjud salat, and after a while he went back to check on his mother. When he went back to check on his mother, then he realized now she's not responding. So most likely she's not around here with us. But the thing is, after that, he has a, like how we have a program after Fajr, he has a tafsir in the Jami Masjid. So he attended whatever needed to be attended there, getting and checking, etc., etc., with the family. And then he went to the masjid. He didn't miss the Fajr Salah. He didn't miss the tafsir program like normal. Although his mother was very, very, very close with him, like normal, he conducted that tafsir program. And then day after, he went back to the house to attend to fixing the time of the janazah, arranging for the ghusl, kafan, etc., etc. And then he came back to the madrasa where he did his Bukhari dars. They also, like absolutely normal, he did his dars for 1 1/4 hour, not missing anything. And then after he gave some advice, and he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much of tasalli, so much of consolence in deen, that we know 2 things. We know that everything is muqaddar, everything has a fixed time, and everything is musta'ar. Musta'ar means everything is known to us. It doesn't matter what we have, it is loaned to us. A day will come when the thing that is lent will have to be given back to the lender. So once we know these 2 things, that life is fixed, and everything is loaned to us. Now when the time comes to give it back, a person, he doesn't feel unhappy about it. Yes, he's sad upon the loss of somebody that is close, that is natural to feel sad, but a person is not over agitated, he doesn't lose his composure. He still can continue with what needs to be done when a person has these two things in mind. And then he said something which is for us, and perhaps in this time and age is so important. He said, the thing that makes me happy is I had the opportunity to be with my mother right till the end. I had the opportunity to to be with my mother right till the end. And especially in this December period, you'll find how many old people are complaining that we have to live out of a suitcase. Every child is gone for holiday somewhere. We are moving from one child to another child to another child. We don't feel as though somebody wants to keep us. And yet the pious, how they think? That Allah has given me the opportunity to be with my parents right till the end. They take it as a thing of honor. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us that thinking. As I said, this thinking, if your thinking is right, everything comes right. If the thinking is wrong, then a person will even look at his parents with disgust. Look at his parents as a burden, as a bore. Why do I have to look after them? Why the other brothers and sisters are not looking after them? So the thinking goes off, and even the own parents, wa na'udhu billah, will seem as though a difficulty and a great musibat, whereas they are great rahmat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us only tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillah.